Being a person of integrity and uprightness, as the psalm tells us, will keep us from compromise, as we hear in this opening point from Mike McIntosh.
I want to encourage you, don't ever compromise your soul, ever. There's nothing this world has to give you to let your character be soiled. Let your yea be a yea and your nay be a nay. That's what we are to do as God's sons and daughters. Speak truth.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Welcome to Chapter and Verse as we continue our studies of the Book of Mark with Mike McIntosh. On today's broadcast, we're going to pick up from where we left off on our last program with part two of a study we've titled, The Common People Heard Him Gladly. Because of the hardness of their hearts, the religious leaders in Christ's time here on earth could just not accept the fact that he was God. How true it still is today that many, because of the hardness of their hearts, cannot accept Jesus as God. Let's join Mike as he continues in Mark chapter 12.
The devil's at work, and God's looking, just like the Marines are, for a few good people. And I'm willing to drive 1,000 miles for you and help encourage you if you would respond and do the same thing. We need to let people know the end is very near, and we're watching one of the signs of the end is the inside of the body of Christ. God is separating the wheat from the chaff. And remember, Jesus said about that, do not try to pull the weeds up or the tares, because inadvertently you could pull up the wheat. Now, what does that mean? It means that the pastors and the elders and the deacons and the spiritual teachers in the body of Christ do not have the full discernment to tell the difference between wheat and tares anymore, because Christians have just blended so much into the world that they can't tell, and they want somebody to be in their congregation. There's a very large church in San Diego, large congregation. And I had a discussion with some of the leaders of that. And they said, sorry, you don't have, Calvary Chapel does not have the corner in Bible doctrine. I said, that's probably true, but they have no fingerprints on false doctrine. Well, we're not going to change because attendance is up and giving is up. So why would we change just to keep it all together like that? I said, you know what? The devil has a very big wallet, and he can make a church look wealthy. And he has a lot of kids that would fill churches if the pastors would just compromise and put the Bible away and start entertaining and only give messages that don't convict, don't talk about sin, and make it easy on everybody. That's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. I know that's not where you are, but I'm saying we are as the body of Christ. But in Hebrews it says in the end times God is going to shake everything that can be shaken. So he's shaking the tree, and bad fruit's going over here and good fruit's still hanging on. But it breaks my heart that I'm an older guy now and I can't go beat up some of those younger guys that are the smart alecks, which I wouldn't do anyhow, but I'd give them a run for their money. So here we are with him saying this about the verse, and you haven't read this verse, knowing that they should. But let's follow what he said. He says to them, and most surely I say, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, verse 34. A slave does not abide in the house, for a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. See, he's not afraid of him. He's a gutsy guy. Because my word, here's why, because my word has no place in you. Now that's strong words. My word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and he speaks love, and you do what you have seen with your father. Uh-oh, there's two families on the earth. Your father, my father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Otherwise, they have no faith. But now, you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. That's it right there. Do you love Jesus? If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Notice the authority he has. They aren't talking. They came to mess with him, and he's got control of the whole situation. He's not afraid of them. Why do you not understand my speech? Now, that's very important. You notice that he's talking, you can't hear my words coming out of my mouth. I'll answer the questioning, because you're not able to listen to my word. Now, there are people who just can't pick up a Bible. There are people that cover their ears if you try to read to them. Begins telling you right away whose dad is theirs. There was a young man, 26 years old, that I met in a hospital. I was concerned for him. I didn't know what's going on with him. I was concerned physically that he could snap. I didn't know if he was medicated or if this was his personality. He talked with me. Cursed the Holy Spirit, and he gave his soul to the devil. And I said, oh, really? Well, let me pray for you. I don't want you to do that. Well, I know you don't want me to, but would you let me? Well, okay, I trust you. I think you're a nice guy. Well, thank you. Just prayed for him. Just laid my hand on him and prayed for him that the Lord would just remove Satan's influence in this young man's life, and he would give him a clean heart. And he went away. He said, well, okay, see ya. Next day, I prayed for him two times, once in the morning, once in the evening. The next day, when I was getting ready to go to the airport, he came up to me and said, and his whole countenance was changed, completely changed. He said, I feel so free and so good since you've prayed for me. I said, really? See, God's working in you. And I gave him scriptures, and he said, but before you leave, would you pray one more time for me? So I prayed for him. So Sandy and I really struggled about this trip that was going on, and we both agreed there must be some people that are really, really in need. And so I'll go. And this guy writes an email to me and says, since you taught me from the Bible and prayed for me those five times, I feel like I'm a brand new person, and Jesus is my Lord, and I have renounced Satan. I've told him to get away. I've asked the Holy Spirit to come in my heart and forgive me. And I wonder if you could tell me of a pastor in my town that I could start going to a church that I could learn from the Bible, because I don't like churches. And I said, yeah, I got three in your town, buddy. And just to watch the Lord just gently touch somebody doesn't take, you know, some huge discernment when somebody's in trouble. You just don't need to fear him. He doesn't fear them. You're going to kill me. You're going to try to kill me. Why is it you can't hear my speech? Because you can't even receive my word. Very important. He started out talking to him, have you not read this scripture? Then you go over here to John and he's saying, that's what happens when you don't read the scripture. You show you're the devil's kid instead of being the Lord's kid. So it's very important. I want to encourage you, if you're not reading the Bible, get a one-year Bible, go through it every day, or start out in Genesis, which could be a little difficult, but go to Mark is good, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Go to Jude, it's only one page long. Just let the Lord start you. He said to them, okay, so you want to kill me. I know you're not Abraham's descendants, you say that, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth about God. You do the deeds of your father, and if your father were God, you would love me. That's why I love Jesus. For I proceeded forth and came from God, and I have, nor have I come by myself. He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. So no doubt they would want to murder Jesus. And does not stand in the truth. Do you stand in the truth? Because why does he not stand in the truth? He answers all these things for him because there is no truth in him. The whole world is being controlled by him right now. Fake news. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. So if you know somebody in your life that's a liar, you better pray hard for their soul. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? They can't convict him of sin because he is sinless. Why do you not believe me? I am telling you the truth. He who is of God, verse 47, hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Man, it couldn't be any clearer, could it? So the group of people, back to Mark chapter 12, this group of people, these Pharisees, these religious leaders of Israel, they had a corner on the hearts and minds of the people, and they didn't even know the Lord. Very important for us to know who our Father is. Very important. Look at verse 12 of chapter 12. And they sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him, and they went away. Verse 13. So they sent to him some of the Pharisees, the hierarchy of Judaism, and the Herodians, these would be politically aligned with Herod, to catch him in his words. Instead of trying to learn, they wanted to catch him in his words. That is so sad. When they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, Master, we know that you are true." Okay. "And you care about no one." Otherwise, he is not a respecter of persons. He speaks right to him directly. That's all true. "For you do not regard the person of men, but you teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful?" Now look how quickly it changed from all that flattery to a completely different subject matter. "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" They want to catch him in his words. So they say all that flattery and then throw the curveball at him as if he's some dummy. "Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, very important, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me?" They should have stopped right there and said, how do you know what we're doing here? When a liar lies to you, he thinks he's got full control. When a deceiver deceives you, he thinks he's got you pretty well deceived. And the first word Jesus said about the end of the age and the coming of the Lord in Matthew 24 was, "Take heed that no man deceives you." And there's never been as much in my lifetime a deception in so many different tiers and levels and areas of the world than there are tonight. Deception is everywhere. And we've been warned about it. That'd be a sign of the end times. How do you know who to believe and what to believe? And the deceiver that manipulates, well, like this. Out in San Bernardino County at the fairgrounds, they have raves for teenagers. I know from good authority inside the fairgrounds that kids are having sex on the dance floor. Girls are coming with their underwear on. They check for drugs at the door, but when you get inside, they'll sell you back the drugs. The cops know about it. I've talked to government officials about it. "Well, you know, we can't love it." Yeah. The love of money is the root of all evil. And if there's evil going on, somebody's making some money. I want to encourage you, don't ever compromise your soul, ever. Don't ever compromise. There's nothing this world has to give you to let your character be soiled. Let your yea be a yea and your nay be a nay. That's what we are to do as God's sons and daughters. Speak truth. But everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes, and so the bar has been lowered. Imagine where we are today as a country. We're hugely in debt. more people working and all that. Yes, of course. But we have a lot of debt. And imagine the lack of morals and ethics that have been lacking for, let's just say, 15 years. And as we go down, ethics takes a turn. People have to compromise and use different words. And if you use the wrong words, you have hate speech and you could be fined or sent to jail. Who are the FBI agents and the NSA agents and the CIA agents that are going to be in power in 5 years, let alone 10 years? How can we trust people that aren't sure if a man is a man or if a woman is a woman? How can we trust people that have been trained to not believe in God, believe in Mother Nature, Mother Earth, but don't believe in a creator, believe you came from a peanut butter jelly sandwich floating out in the primordial ooze and a lightning hit the ocean and the salt turned that sandwich into a lizard and from a fish and he comes out onto the water and he grows some legs and climbs up the tree and he's a monkey's uncle and then all of a sudden you're the daughter or son of an uncle, a monkey uncle. How can we trust people that think like that? But we bow our heads, oh yes, okay, we're not going to rock your boat. We can't. We show respect to people, but you've got to realize the deception is so deep and so far that your own intellect has been under attack for quite some time. And you can be neutered in the spirit and never, ever spend any time left in your life telling somebody they need to repent of their sins, let alone ourselves need to repent of our sins. Do not compromise. Jesus said, look out there, the fields are white unto harvest. Look at us, ready, but the laborers are few. So therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest for more laborers. Pray. Notice the problem first, and then pray. And in his eyes, lost souls are the important thing. And he has the church to feed us and to make us grow as people, but not to be a country club where we pull away from all the war zone and just have it easy. Never. Jesus never took the comfort zone. King David, as powerful as he was, as wealthy as he was, when he went to war, he got in trouble. When the kings went to war, when he stayed home so he could seduce Bathsheba. But when Saul was chasing him, that dude was out in the field sleeping in the foxholes with his own troops. He snuck up on Saul with some of the strongest, most powerful bodyguards ever, pulls out his knife and cuts off the edge of the king's robe and then goes across the mountain and says, hey! And he calls the soldier that he knew guarding the king, says, ha-ha, you're not doing your job. Check out his robe. He was always in hardship. And he didn't take his place with all the gold and silver and the power and just enjoy it. As he grew up, he went into the fields. And you remember the story about Abigail and her husband, Nabal. And whoever would name a kid Nabal has got some issues somewhere. But Nabal, in their language, means a fool. Who would call their baby son a fool? And Abigail said to David, as his name is, so is he. You remember that story? David and his troops were out in the field for quite some time, and they came to this area where Nabal had thousands of donkeys and sheep, and he's a very wealthy man, and they stayed out in the field. So it was getting time that they needed to get some food. So he sent a squad, 10 guys, 10, 12 guys, I forget the exact number. And it'd be like a SEAL team squad, just a squad, not the whole company or the whole battalion, just a squad of 10, 12 buddies that have fought together and lived together and been wounded together, and they know how to take people out. And so he says, just tell him that his servant, the son of Jesse, has need if we could get some food. We're very hungry. And remind him that he can talk to any one of his employees and tell them, all the time that we've been in the field with his people, we've never taken one thing of his or theirs, and we have protected them the whole time from marauders and thieves and crooks. So the 12 guys come up to the gate, and this guy, you know, people hide in their money. They think because they've got more than anybody else, they can hide inside here and think they're protected. They're more vulnerable than a person has nothing, because the person that has nothing knows how to handle themselves. When you grow up without money, you know what a penny is worth. And you know on the street who's going to mess with you and who's not. So this guy, with all of his money and his pride and his luxury barns and whatever, he says, who is the son of Jesse? There are many people that say that they're the son of somebody. I'm not going to give you guys anything. How do I know who you are? And so they went back to David, and he says, sir, here's his response. David didn't blink an eye. He said, I want everybody to get your armor on. Leave 200 people back here. Watch all of our stuff. We're going to battle. Now this guy, with all of his pride, irritated David. And all David was saying, would you help me out? I mean, he's been anointed to be the king. He's hiding from Saul. Yeah, and Saul's looking for him, wants to kill him. But if you help the king out, don't you think the king would repay it somehow? You think that if you help Jesus out, that he would do some good for your family and yourself? Not that we do things to get rewards, but it's the principle. Had this man been grateful that he had money and wealth? There are people that have money and wealth, and they're very, very generous. They just know what to do with their money and how to help. And there are people that are just stingy. So David is on the march. And instead of 10 or 12 crack troops at his gate, he's going to have about 400 in a minute. And David is given the order, kill everybody. Take whatever you want. This guy thought that I sure blew those guys off, didn't I? And his pride is going to pull him down. Well, a couple of the worker men come and say to Abigail, we know about Abigail, she is beautiful. We know about Nabal that he was a jerk. The Bible's very clear about that. And they said, you know, these men came from David, Jesse's son, you know who I'm talking about? Yeah, I know who you're talking about. And he had these soldiers. These guys were buff. These guys were tough. These guys had scars. These guys knew how to fight. And he blew them off. And Abigail immediately gets her administrative gifts working. All right, I want you to get 10 donkeys, 12 donkeys. I want you to get 4 bushels of grapes and 4 bushels of raisins. And I want you to get 50 flasks of wine. And I want you to get some beef and slaughter 2 sheep and a cow and let's go. So here she comes with all this and David's coming. And when she sees David, she throws herself in front of him and says, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. So my husband, I heard what happened there. And you know, as his name is, so is he. He's a fool. He's a foolish man. And it is a foolish man that doesn't know the king. And it is a foolish man that doesn't bow his knee to the king. And it is a foolish man that trusts in riches of this world. Jesus said, what is it worth to gain all the world and lose your own soul? What will a man pay for his soul? There's nothing we can pay for our soul. The blood of Jesus has paid for our soul. And so she said, sir, I brought all this. Please, spare all those people. So David's impressed. He liked the girls and thought she was very beautiful. And so she goes home, and he's having a party with all these rich guys in the neighborhood. But he's richer, and so he's drunk as a skunk, and he's showing off. And she said, and she's very wise, not just administratively. She said, I'm going to wait till he wakes up tomorrow and the wine has gone through his body. Very wise. So he wakes up. He's got a hangover. She lets him have a cup of coffee and he's starting to shape up. And she says, you know, that was the wrong thing that you did yesterday. And your head is on the chopping block. And all of a sudden when he heard that and he remembered how he treated those people, he got paralyzed, probably had a stroke. And then he was frozen. He couldn't do anything. And a day later, I think it was, he died from the heart attack. As his name is, so is he. A fool. Another thing, sometimes we husbands are Nabals. We're fools and don't realize the valuableness of what God has given us as our helpmate. This guy thought he was everything, but he had no time for other people. And that's not good. We've got to always have time for other people.
You've been listening to Pastor Mike McIntosh with part 2 of a teaching about God's spiritual protection in your life as you surrender to His will. We'll return to Mark 12 tomorrow on Chapter and Verse. You'll want to return here on Wednesday for more biblical instruction and practical application. Once again, I'd like to remind you that podcasts of Chapter and Verse teachings are available to download. That's right, you can have Pastor Mike's weekday teachings downloaded through the service, and you won't miss a minute of these messages. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, it's easy and it's free. Just go to our website, MikeMacintosh.com, and under the teaching link, you'll see podcast. There you'll find simple step-by-step instructions, so your device will automatically receive each day's message from Chapter and Verse. Your life takes all kinds of unexpected turns. Now you can take Chapter and Verse teachings with you wherever you go. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, available at MikeMacintosh.com. Next time, Pastor Mike will conclude his message, The Common People Heard Him Gladly, here on CNV Radio. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.